The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
The next day, John was again standing with two of his disciples. And as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. The Gospel of the Lord. So after being married for 23 and a half years, I think we finally figured out that every person in a marriage has specific responsibilities. Certain jobs that are required of him or her in order to make the relationship work. For instance, one of my jobs is to mow the yard. Now, that doesn't mean Stacy can't mow the yard. That just means it's my job to do so. Another one is that I am supposed to take care of the bills. Not very good at it, but I'm still one that's supposed to take care of these things. I'm also supposed to take care of the cars, which in my family means I'm the one that drives them to the people who actually do take care of the cars. Why Stacy can't drive her car there? Don't know. Doesn't matter. Not her job. And the good thing about it is, as you have children and they begin to get older, you can pawn some of your jobs off on them. That's kind of nice too. But the truth is, eventually they are going to move away and it's going to become my job again. One of the worst ones that I've always hated was emptying the dishwasher. The girls have done that for a while now, and I dread the day that Mary Margaret moves out and I have to empty the dishwasher again, because that was not only my job in marriage, it's also my job when I was a kid. Hate emptying the dishwasher. But the worst job of all, the one that I can't stand the most, is that I am the official family looker. When something is lost, it is my responsibility to look for it. Which means, if I lose my keys, of course, I have to look for my keys. But if somebody else loses her keys, I have to look for those keys too. If we're missing a shoe, I gotta find the shoe. If we're missing, a dog, I've got to go find the dog. That's the way it works. I'm the official looker. And I guess, you know, I've sort of was given that aptitude early on when I found my mother's diamond that had fallen out of her ring. Apparently, that rumor got passed around throughout the generations, which made me the official looker in my house. Now, there's a problem, folks, with being the official looker and the only male in the house, is that I don't understand women's fashions. Maybe some of you can relate. I don't know the difference between tights, leggings, and yoga pants. They're all the same. And my wife has about 68 pairs of black leggings, and they're all different. There's different shades and shapes and types, and I don't know what they are, and yet I'm the one that's sent to go looking for them. And so somehow I end up coming back with 3 pair. None of them are the right pair. And so I wonder, how do you find something if you don't know what you're looking for? It's sort of like this old man who was out one day, and it was a huge pile of trash and junk, and he was just furiously looking through it. And his friend walks up to him and said, "Bill, what you doing?" And he says, "I'm looking for something." So Jim says, "Well, okay, well then I'll help." And so he's looking. Next thing you know, somebody else comes up and says, "What are you fellas doing? We're looking for something." And so they start looking for it. So he starts looking for it with them. 2 or 3 more guys come up, and all of them are looking, until finally one of them says, "Hey, Bill, what are we looking for anyway?" He says, I don't know, but when I find it, I'll tell you. It's hard to find something if you don't know what you're looking for. You know? That's sort of the theme of today. Because, I mean, look, we go through through our lives, and aren't we all looking for something? We're looking for peace and health and wholeness. We're looking for success, happiness. We're looking for fame, fortune. Looking for money or relationship. We're looking for something. And so what is it that you're looking for today? Is that a question that we often ask ourselves? As we go through life, do we ask, what am I looking for? Let me make it a little easier for you. What are you looking for today? In this very place. You came to church this morning. What are you looking for? What are you looking for here? Now, for folks who've ever been, you know, church shopping, that question's a little more on the forefront, isn't it? Well, you're looking for something that's good with children, or you're looking for a place where the people are nice, or it has a great music program, or the preacher doesn't put you to sleep, or you're looking for a Lutheran, Baptist, Catholic, Methodist church, or you're looking for contemporary or traditional worship. You know what you're looking for then. But then, after a while, you become like the rest of us. Day after day, showing up, not knowing what it is that we're looking for. We don't know why it is that we're here. See, in our gospel reading, that is the question of the day. As Jesus walks past John and a couple of his disciples, John the Baptist says, "Look, here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And two of John's disciples start to follow Jesus. And Jesus, noticing that he has two stalkers coming after him, turns around and says, "What do you want? What are you looking for?" And they give the worst possible response I've ever heard in all the Bible. One that absolutely makes no sense no matter how hard you try to explain it. Jesus says, "What are you looking for?" And they say, "Where are you staying?" What? So, what are you looking for? What neighborhood do you live in? What's your house look like? So why is it that they're asking that question? Well, what they're really wanting to do is they want to know where Jesus is so that they can spend some time with him. They want to go and talk to this man that their master, John the Baptist, was talking about. And so that's what they did. But now we don't know what it is they were looking for. We don't know what happened during this time. But we do know that it made a massive difference in their lives. Because from that moment, we hear that one of them was Andrew. And he jets out of there. He goes and finds his brother. And he says, "We have found the Messiah." So he was so excited with this that Peter gets up and comes back to talk to Jesus. See, that's what it's all about. Andrew knew what he was looking for. He went to Jesus. And he found him. Or rather, Jesus found him. And this was a significant moment. You know how I know it's significant? Because it tells us what time it is. Very short little sentence that most people don't even realize is there. It says, and it was 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Why does that matter? Who cares? It's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Because, my friends, we remember when something significant happens. Remember where you were on 9/11? Remember where you were when JFK was shot? I don't, by the way. Remember where you were and when it was when you met your spouse? Remember the moment your child was born? These significant moments of our lives, the ones that change everything, we know when it happened. And this specific moment, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, was when everything changed for Andrew, for Peter, for the entire world. What do you want? Because it was there that they found it. So I ask you again, my friends, what are you looking for? What are you looking for today? When you come here on Sunday mornings, what are you looking for? Because I can promise you this, if you come looking for nothing, you will find it every time. And see, I think that's part of our struggle, because do we actually come to worship expecting anything? Do we, you know, maybe we'll expect to see this person or that person, or maybe we'll expect to hear some good music and a decent sermon. We'll expect something, but what do you expect to happen in your life when you come to worship on Sunday mornings? What are you looking for? Do you think that might be a question we should start asking ourselves? When we approach the Almighty, what are we looking for? What do you expect? What do you come to Christ wanting? What do you come to Christ needing? Because here's the reality. When we come to this place, we are in the presence of God Almighty. We have the promise of that every time we share in this meal. When we share in the body and blood of Christ, we have His presence promised to us right here and right now. But how many of us actually go to worship expecting this to happen? How many of us actually come here expecting to be changed? How many of us come here to say, hey, at 8:30 in the morning, my life changed forever? So let me challenge you, my friends. Ask yourself that question every single day, every single week, every single year. What am I looking for? What am I looking for? Because the reality is, it will be shown to you. God's presence is here with you right now. You're surrounded by friends. If you come looking for peace, you will find peace. If you come looking for wholeness, you will find wholeness. If you come looking for salvation, you will find that you have been saved by the body and blood of Jesus Christ. So what are you looking for? Come and see. Amen.